I'd like to ask you to turn to a familiar portion of Scripture, Luke 24. A few things I'd like to consider in this well-known portion and lovely portion. The Word of God is pure and wonderful everywhere. Some spots seem more attractive than others. Luke 24, and I'm not going to read all the verses at this moment that I want to refer to, but we will start with the 13th verse. Luke 24, verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, or rather senseless and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. We'll read other verses later on. What I have enjoyed for some time in this portion, not only what we've read, but what follows, is the thought of four spheres of the Christian life. First of all, we have these two walking along the way, perplexed, troubled. We speak of that as the individual life, the individual walking, which should be with the Lord. Then, you see here, they invited him into their home. And he was there with them and made himself known. That would suggest the home life, wouldn't it? I'm not going to give an exposition of this portion here, but to take take opportunity for speaking of these several spheres. The home life. The first of all is the individual life, walking with the Lord. Then having Him in our home and learning of Himself. Then, the last verse we read here was, they went up to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 gathered together, which would suggest the assembly. Gathering together, and the Lord in the midst. Well, that's wonderful, but the Lord didn't stop there. He spoke of the commission, and He led them out to Bethany. The fourth sphere I see here is going out to the nations. And I think this order is wonderful. The individual life, the Lord walking with us. And as they said, He made their hearts burn. As you opened up the scriptures, walking by the way, they enjoyed His company so much, they didn't want it to stop there. They constrained Him that He would abide. Come into their home. And there's that blessed sphere of the home life, the family, and all. We can enlarge upon. And then they were found with a gathered company. For the Lord appears in the midst. And gives them the commission. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. And leading them up. Now that's the line I'd like to follow here. First of all, we see these two. They were dear disciples. But they were perplexed by the things that were happening, that had happened. And they were sad. In our lives, many perplexing things come up. Things to sadden us and trouble us. And you notice, they use the word things. You know the things which are come to pass in these days. Of course, they were concerned about the blessed Lord Jesus that had been crucified. And they said, I don't know if they had the words here, we thought it was He who would redeem Israel. I believe it was stated. But he said, the Lord drew near. And well loved these words, Jesus Himself drew near and walked with them. Now we sometimes say, whether right or wrong, that these two were going the wrong way. They should have been going up there to Jerusalem. Well, if that be so, the Lord went with them in the wrong way to put them in the right way. Because we find Him up at Jerusalem. And that's lovely, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He would walk with them. And it's only Luke of the four Gospels that gives us this personal touch, this lovely touch. And He's interested in them. Says, oh, what manner of communications are these you have one to another? You walk in a stand. The blessed Lord Jesus knows everything and is concerned about everything that concerns us individually. Now we're only told one here, name was Cleopas. I'm among those who like to think the other was his wife. Right or wrong, we're not told, but he went into their home. And there are problems. But the lovely thing to see is here, when the Lord says, well, what are you talking about? They said, the things have come to pass. He said, what things? They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. That's lovely, isn't it? Their concern was about him. And there are many things come up and concern us individually as to what would be the Lord's will for us, or puzzling things. They're all taken care of by the Lord walking with us, communion with himself, and we're having abide with me. And I think the starting place here is that they, though if they were perplexed, and if we say they were going the wrong way, they were occupied with the things concerning Jesus. And they said, he is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before all, before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. So on they speak of it. A good one we're concerned about the Lord Jesus. Many things that occupy us. Reference was made to Martha today, this afternoon. And the Lord had to say, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And we too, in our lives, many things trouble us. But he said, one thing is needful. To sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And so he speaks. Now, walking along with him. Wonderful to walk with the Lord. Recently in meetings had something from Hebrews 11, and where we have Enoch. Characteristic thing about Enoch was he walked with God. And he had a good conscience. Testimony that he pleased God. In a very evil, wicked day. So that Jude tells us he had to testify. Oh, the Lord cometh with 10,000 his saints to execute judgment. That's all the ungodliness. The word ungodly is mentioned these four times. But he walked with God in a very evil day. Noah, years later, walked with God. And warned of coming judgment. So on. Now, the Lord teaches. Verse 26, verse 25, O fools. It's interesting to study about the word fools in the King James Bible. Take a Young's Concordance and you'll find that there are many different words, all translated in this version by the word fool. Mr. Darby gives it correctly here, senseless. Matthew says, if you say to one thou fool, you'd be in danger of hell fire. That's the meaning of a rebel, calling one a rebel. Well, the Lord truly didn't speak to his own as rebels. But they were just senseless. They didn't think. And he says, slow to believe. Slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. And so he gives here, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Two great, wonderful themes, which Peter speaks of also. The sufferings of Christ and the glory to follow. And that's for us too as disciples. It's the path of suffering, but it ends in the glory. There's the glory of discipleship, as well as the cost of discipleship, as we learn in Luke 9. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. My, wouldn't you have liked to have been there and heard that? The blessed Lord going through the prophets. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, expounding from the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's what we need in perplexing times. That's what these souls needed. when their eyes were opened, they knew him. They said, did not our heart burn with him while he talked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? Many problems. Christ is the answer. The Word of God. The complete Word that we have. We have the New Testament now. We didn't have that then. But Paul, writing to Timothy, says that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works. Brother used to say, the Word of God is like a big department store. You can get wholly fitted up. Get everything that you need. And that's what the Word of God is. So we ought to look in the scriptures for the things concerning himself. The figures and the types. Christ in the scriptures. Later on in the gathered company, verse 44, he said the things were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Oh, how wonderful the Psalms are. They're the hymn book of the Old Testament. Praise book and experience book as well. So it tells us in our individual walk, we must not neglect the scriptures. We don't have the blessed Lord here now to do as he did, but we have the Holy Spirit, the one whom he has sent and given, the teacher, the illuminator, the author of the scriptures. Always reminds me of a brother said he was crossing the Atlantic from Britain to America, or vice versa. He was from here originally, and he saw one there reading the Bible quite a bit. So he went to him and he said, sir, you seem to be quite interested in that book. He said, yes, sir, I was acquainted with the author. The author of the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, and he's the illuminator. Well, so we have him to open the Scriptures to us, give us understanding, and apply it. And so their hearts burn. A brother said one time, sometimes you walk with the saints and talk with the saints of God, you get a heartache of all the problems and troubles and so on. But you walk with the Lord, you get a heart burn, warm. And that's what they need. Their hearts warm. Filled. So now they constrain him. Say, abide with us. Stay with us. Come into our home. The day is far spent. He made as though he would go further. Perhaps we can say the Lord can do without us, but we can't do without him. We need him. And in our whole life. And so, he went in to tarry with them. And he sat at meat. What an important sphere is the home. Marriage, the basis of the home, is the first institution in Scripture. Divine institution. And we right well know it's being attacked today, left and right. It's been well said, the home is the bulwark of the nation. Can't have proper assembly life. We first have right home life. Home. And so I think the lesson here for us in our application is how important to have the Lord in our home. To invite him, to have our home according to his institution and his regulation. And how we need the book to guide us in our home, the marriage life. This is a word on the rocks today, in many places. And the troubles come among believers in the assembly as well. assembly from Wisconsin. Family, and there, the mother is in the little gathering, the daughter, the children coming, the husband coming sometimes. I met him there, not breaking bread. They weren't sure if he was a Christian. Sad news. He committed suicide. I saw. There are many of these things that happen all over. How we need the Lord in our homes and be given the place as head, as Lord. And then we'll get his blessing. He takes the place of the host. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. An ordinary meal. But they were entertaining the Lord of glory. They didn't know it. Then their eyes were opened. Perhaps as he broke the bread, they saw the nail marks in his hand. We're not told. But there was something. The work of God's Spirit opened their eyes in the home. How much they would have missed if they hadn't constrained him to come into their home. And how much we miss too. What blessing we get entertaining the Lord's people. Years ago, city of Brooklyn, I needed some little physical attention. I was told of a brother at his office in a home. I knocked or rang the bell. The lady came to the door and I told her, Brother so-and-so sent me here. She said, oh, if you're one of the Lord's, come on in. I never forgot that. That's such a lovely way, you know. If you're one of the Lord's, well, come in. And the Lord's people and the unsaved to be welcome to find a haven there. Well, I say how much they would have missed if they hadn't invited him in. And so they say now, my, what a wonderful time we had as he walked with us by the way and opened to us the scripture. There are many open things in this chapter. Begins with the open tomb and ends with the open heavens. He went up. We won't take those up tonight. Now, what was the result of their walking with the Lord to their home, he with them, opening up the scriptures, and then his presence in their home and in making himself known to them? What's the result? Why, it says they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. By use of vernacular expression, they hot-footed it right up to Jerusalem. Same hour. And it was late. So if they were going the wrong way, the Lord moved them in the right way to be with the gathered company. And how much they would have missed if they hadn't gone there. How much we miss the Christian pathway. Opportunities for the Lord to walk with us individually. That's where it begins. And then to have him in our home and the Lord's people. And the scriptures read together. And if we're right in those spheres or help, we won't be absent. The gathered assembly. The Lord had said, where two or three are gathered together, are gathered. There am I in the midst. And so we find they returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together. Oh yes, what a privilege it is to gather together around the Lord Jesus Christ and experience his presence in our midst. And notice they had something to say. They had something to contribute. It is said, "The Lord is risen," and it appeared to Simon. Rather, it seemed to me that that's the word that was said in the assembly, the gathered assembly there. And then, verse 35, "And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking the bread." Yes, sir, we're walking with the Lord individually, enjoying him in our home. When we come together in the gathered assembly, we'll have something to contribute, something to give, for edification of all. They had experienced the Lord with them. And now, verse 36, "As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." The Lord comes in the midst of his people. This is the beginning here, as it were. It hasn't ceased. We still experience this blessedness, and we should, of the Lord himself being in our midst. And he gives his greetings of peace. He made peace by the blood of his cross. He would have us enjoy peace. "My peace I give unto you." And he would have us carrying the message of peace to others, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, who's Lord of all, Peter says. But they're frightened. "Why are you troubled?" So he says, verse 39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself." Yes, even now, as we would gather together to remember the Lord and to show forth his death, he would show us his hands and his side, wouldn't he? To be reminded afresh of the price he paid for our redemption. To bring us into this place of blessedness where we have access to the holiest of all, and given the privilege of being a royal priesthood and a holy priesthood, offering praise acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He showed them his hands and his feet. And of course he would alleviate all their fears and even eat amongst them. Now he says, verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, all things might be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, Blessed behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. That's where we ended this afternoon, in John 15. Witnesses. And so this brings us to the fourth sphere, doesn't it? It's wonderful to be privileged, enjoy the Lord individually and in our homes and in the assembly. But what about those outside? The nations who have nothing, on the way to destruction. And so he's leading them out. He says, now, repentance and remission and forgiveness of sins to be preached name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Start at home. Go out to Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. And we have the word here in verse 50, he led them out. Here, of course, it says to Bethany. But I'd just like to take those words there, he led them out. He would lead us out too. I'm constrained to tell a little incident or story that our beloved brother E.C. Hadley, whom you knew, he just had his home call recently, just the day before we left, the 15th of September. The Lord taking him home after 50 years of faith work and the gospel tract, the grace and truth tract service. It's gone on and greatly used. Well, our brother Hadley was a missionary in the early days in Africa, and he went out with a gospel union, didn't know anything about things gathered to the Lord's name, he said, and he tells us, he's told us himself, and he got acquainted with brethren gathered to the Lord's name. Went to Switzerland, remember the Lord there, and stayed with brethren ever since. Went back to Africa. He told the brother that he was with there that he was resigning the mission and gathering now with things gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So on. Well, this brother said, well, he said, the brethren are like some people that come together and have a wonderful box of jewels. And they open the box up, take these jewels out and enjoy them, and they put them back in the box, and they go home. Now, if that's true of us, it's not so good. Thank the Lord, it isn't always true. But sometimes, it could characterize us. That we're satisfied with ourselves, where we need to be reaching out to others. And we see that here. While they enjoy the Lord's presence in the gathered assembly, they must go out. And I remember C.H. McIntosh and those good papers on evangelism. He speaks of the joy that he had in seeing the saints gathered together to remember the Lord. And then after the remembrance meeting, arranging the chairs and getting the children in and giving them the gospel and reaching out. That's what it should be. The same Lord who said, this do in remembrance of me, he also said, go ye. This do and go ye. And it's blessed to reach out whatever way to those above us. And that's what we find here, the Lord say, now you're witnesses and you want to go out to the nations. That's the force of the Christian life. Go out and bring them in. And said, we need to teach the truths of the Word of God in the assembly, rightly so. But if we don't go out, we may come to the place we have no one to teach. Saints pass on. And so new arrivals have to be coming in. And our families and others, and it's so blessed. We're reaching out. And he says, now I'll send the promise of the Holy Spirit upon my Father upon you. You'll be endued with power from on high, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the power for service and guidance. Well, now looking at verse 50, he led them out. As far as to Bethany. Bethany is a wonderful place. That was that home that he often went to. Bethany, Mary, Martha, Lazarus. Many things we could say. Mary acknowledged him as the prophet in Luke 10, I believe it is. Sat at his feet, I must hear his words. Then, I think in John 11, the time of their sorrow, Lazarus dies. They call for the Lord. Afterwards he comes, and he weeps with them. They learned him as the sympathizing high priest who could weep with those in need. They touch him. They learn his sympathy. John 12, they made him a supper just before the crucifixion. What a joy it must have been for the Lord Jesus, surrounded by the hatred of those Pharisees and the chief priests and leaders of the people. Wanted to murder him. Here he goes to Bethany. As one has said, the Father had prepared a wonderful balm of comfort for his son at Bethany. And he's anointed his burial. Matthew speaks of anointing his head king. John anointing his feet son of God. It took place at Bethany. To find another time in his rejection, he's been at Bethany. And now here we have him at Bethany, and he goes to heaven. The glorified Christ, the ascended Lord, goes up from Bethany as our blessed Lord would lead us out beyond the cross and the tomb and even the resurrection to Christ in the glory. And he blessed them. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. An old brother, my younger days, pointed out to us that the Gospel of Luke begins with a priest coming out of the temple who should have blessed the people, but he was dumb because of unbelief. No blessing for the people. And he said, the Gospel of Luke ends with the one as the great high priest going up to heaven, blessing the people. The blessings are coming from the nail-pierced hand. No blessing under the law, but oh, the blessing from our Redeemer, our risen and about to be exalted Savior. He blessed them. And he was carried up into heaven. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Oh, yes. This chapter begins with perplexity, problem. Their hearts were burdened, their fears were allayed as he showed himself. Now he leads them out and blesses them, and they go back to Jerusalem with great joy. Joy, the peculiar portion of the Christian, world seeks of happiness. Happiness can depend upon happiness, but joy in the Holy Spirit. Known, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, and you last. Or Jesus, J for Jesus, and O for nothing, and Y for you, Jesus with nothing in between. That's joy. But he gives us joy. We've had this afternoon, fruit of the Spirit, good joy. And they're continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. The great high priest has gone up, blessing the people. The priestly family in the temple praising God. Well, there's a little from this lovely chapter of Luke, Jesus himself. In the individual sphere, in the family sphere, in the assembly sphere, and in the testimony going out to the nation. May the Lord give us joy, blessing.